time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about a lot of stuff, and tonight is going to be no exception, but it's going to be pretty easy, and it's really going to kind of make you go, as usual, you know, I like to do that with people and kind of help you to see a little bit different viewpoint. And before we get into all that, I'm going to be reading to you tonight. As long as my voice will hold out anyway. And wanted to first thank our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. Beautiful, organic, natural skincare that's actually nutrition. Your skin just soaks it up. And in fact, I did some of that yesterday. I gave myself a, you know, the scrub and the mask, and that's what I put on my skin because it felt really good. You know, my skin just soaked it up. And so that's kind of a hint for people, you know, if your skin has been feeling a little bit neglected, you might want to give that a try if you haven't yet. And they have a new formulation, too, that's really spiffed up, which, by the way, Marjorie, I have not gotten yet. And I would love to have a bottle of that. But anyhow, so today we're going to talk about the Pistis Sophia. Now, this is a book written by J.J. Hertog, and I'm sure you've heard of him. And I am no replacement for J.J. Hertog, first of all. Okay, so if you're going to start to ask me a bunch of questions about it, I can only answer as far as I've read. I'm only, you know, a few chapters into it. But I felt that what I'm reading is important enough that I wanted to share it with you. So if you haven't seen this book, it's kind of like, you know, if you've heard the explanations I've given through the Knowledge Book, then this won't be a huge surprise to you because it goes along the same lines, you know, and it shows the universe kind of structured the same way. It's just more of a biblical way of looking at it. And so it might be a little bit easier for people that are used to, you know, the standard Orthodox religions to kind of understand this and, you know, not think that it's way out there and too weird and you know, all the kinds of things that some people do. I know that we don't have that problem with our listeners, because you guys have open minds, thank God. But, you know, some people might think that this is, you know, weird for them. So I wanted to get past that and just kind of show you some things. And what this is it's kind of it's a treatise that was written after studying several of the Coptic texts. And it's about the divine feminine. So Sophia means wisdom. And so basically this is about truth and wisdom. And Sophia is the Pistis Sophia is the creation element or the feminine of creation. And the whole point with going into this whole explanation about what it is that basically when the first cause or the first mystery or the prime creator, whatever you want to call it, when it created, it created orders. Okay, so there's layers and layers and layers. We are talking about one big onion, people. It's huge. And it's very interesting. And we're kind of like, you know, in the outer layers of that onion or something. You know, we're just not real close to the core. However, many of us used to be. And so there are all kinds of beings that are on the earth right now. There's fallen angels. There's the Nephilim, there's the demons, the jinn, there's the true human beings, there's the star seeds, You know, there's beings from other planets, there's interdimensionals. I mean, you name it, we got it. We have a whole bunch of interesting people now that are on the planet and that came from far away. And that's the way of the universe. You know, bodies are made, spirits inhabit them. And it's kind of like, you know, I keep talking about the big video game. That's the way that I kind of keep it in order for myself, so I kind of understand, you know, how things are working. And from all my own near-death experiences, that's kind of how they explained it to me, but they didn't use the words video game. But they showed me things, and I went, oh, I get it. Okay, so I'm not going to start at the beginning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to jump in. This is chapter 113. 1:13. And I'm just going to read straight through and tell you some revelations that I had. So get comfy. And if you're driving, you probably don't want to listen to this because, you know, my voice has a tendency to put people to sleep. So you might want to just, you know, save it for later. But anyway, let's start here. Now we begin Jesus' testimony of ascension as he enters the second sphere. And I left that region behind and came to the gate of the second sphere, which is the High Marmony. Now, forgive me, people, if I don't pronounce that correctly. Fate. And all its gates were thrown into turmoil and opened of themselves. I entered into the houses of the High Marmony, shining immensely. And the light that I embodied was immeasurable, for I shone in the High Marmony 49 times more than in the previous sphere. Note the chain of command of greater and lesser deities as Jesus takes us through a specific pathway or blueprint of the many realms, which is also the great chain of being. He must go through the various gates of the council dwellers. According to this cosmology, there are degrees of glory and of majesty even in the lower realms. Each house of the mansion worlds contains its own hierarchy and myriad intelligences influenced by its control. Now we travel farther and farther with the risen Christ. We are reminded of the teachings recorded by Enoch, of his experience of time and space translation prior to the flood, recorded in the ancient Greek and Slavonic texts of the Book of Enoch and the Secrets of Enoch, as well as in the pseudo-epigraphic Hebrew texts of Enoch. A comparison of this section of the chapter with chapter 14 of the first book of Enoch confirms this discourse on the many different heavenly realms. And the walls of the house were like a tessellated floor made of crystal. And truly, it was like the path of the stars and the lightnings, and between them were fiery cherubim. And as I entered into that house, it was as hot as fire and as cold as ice, and there were no delights of life. Thereupon fear covered me, and trembling seized me. And I quavered and trembled, and I fell upon my face, and I beheld that, lo, there was a second house greater than the former. The entire portal stood before me, and it was built of flames of fire. And in every respect, it so excelled in splendor and magnificent and extent that I cannot describe to you its splendor and its extent. Enoch bears witness to the numerous stargates and various heavenly realms that exist in the many mansion worlds, each with its own light enclosures, star tessellations, and celestial identity. And we see that each house or realm is more overwhelming than the last. Enoch acknowledges that not all the realms are glorious. Quote, there were no delights of life. Fear covered me. Unquote. There are realms of light and realms of darkness, and as the corridors are opened, we too will be able to travel like Enoch, like Elijah, and like Jesus along those pathways throughout the Father's house of many mansions. And all the archons and all those in the High Marmony were greatly upset and fell upon one another, being extremely frightened by the great light enveloping me. And they looked upon my vesture of light and saw the mystery of their names upon my vesture, and they became even more agitated. Note that when Jesus passes through these various dimensions, the rulers are greatly disturbed and agitated as he opens the Sha'are Ora, the gates of light, which are not being opened exclusively for him, but for the release and interdimensional ascension of others. This is something that you, beloved, must understand as you work with the world and the archons of this world. We must realize that the coming of the kingdom of God and the spiritual governments will displace the current powers and majesties that have clearly worked in opposition to the thought forms of the divine. High Marmony represents the controlling power of fate, which exists and is inherent in every structure of our realm of creation. Fate was originally designed as an evolutionary structure to allow life to evolve into pure light, whereby we are doomed to perfection. But fate became bound to the lower rulers. The Aeonic realms of Haimarmony, or fate, activate the old consciousness patterns which can control and manipulate physical life forms. Fate in our realm has been under the control not of the light powers of evolution, but of the fallen rulers who keep humanity locked in a state of non-evolution. From a scientific viewpoint, we are part of not a centropic, but purely an entropic design. Part of the ruler's great fear comes in the realization that Haimarmony can be overcome through higher faith, pistis, and participation in divine fate process. Jesus comes to introduce a divine fate that can break the control of the false rulers by bringing forth a divine light power which has not been known. They were greatly afraid and said, "How has the Lord of the All passed through us without our knowing?" And all the bonds which held their regions and their orders and their houses were loosened, and together they bowed down worshiping before my presence, singing praises to the interior of the interiors in their great fear and turmoil. The Pistis Sophia is demonstrating that through a higher faith or connectedness with the divine worlds of light, which Jesus represents, the bonds can be loosened and the initiate can break free from the power of the realm of fate, Haimarmony, which has bound our consciousness to the earth. It has kept us as a species and as individuals from evolving on a consciousness level. In our realm, unless we apply a great deal of energy in our life to search, using a higher faith, accepting that a greater reality does exist, we cannot truly evolve. However, if we do, we can achieve a liberated consciousness coordinated with the divine energy realms. Our soul has the potential to be released across the regions of the mysteries, the power of the aeons, the pre-material foundations, the hierarchies of the mid and lower heavens in charge of the material experiments, and eventually find that the treasure of life is a treasure that purifies and evolves us into light and thus can participate in all realms. Let me take a break here. Get a swallow of iced tea. And tell newcomers to the broadcast that I am reading from the book by J.J. Hertog, which is the Pistis Sophia. That's P as in Paul, I S as in Sam, T as in Tom, I S as in Sam, Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. And I think he pronounces it Sophia with a hard P. And it's really an amazing scholarly work and just really explains things nicely. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to pause here after this chapter is because this is something that was taken from the ancient Coptic texts. These were things that were hidden for millennia. They were hidden from the rulers, the controllers that wanted us to forget who we are. And this is why I think it's important to read it to you guys, because not everybody has time to read, you know, or even finds the things that they need. So if you look at what he's saying in this particular chapter, he's saying, you know, there's layers and layers and there's many mansions. You know, and you might remember that one of the things Jesus is supposed to have said was, "My Father's house has many mansions." And, you know, I never really understood that until I put it into layers. Okay, I got it. There's layers. You know, there's layer upon layer upon layer. And then it starts to make a little bit more sense to me. And so if you look at this, Jesus is coming back to correct. And this has happened many, many times throughout human history. He didn't only come as Jesus. He also came, you know, as Krishna, as Quetzalcoatl, as Buddha. You know, those are all basically the Trinity working together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is actually the divine principle, because you have to have all three, you know, to create. And I'm going to get into what happened with the creation in a little bit here. But I just wanted you to take note of what we've just been through. And what Jesus had said about how as he passed through these regions, the rulers of those regions trembled and bowed down before him because his light was so great. And he mentioned someplace else, I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, that if he showed up on earth with his true light, it would completely destroy the earth in a blink. And so he didn't say blink, though. That's my word. Okay. I don't know if they had blink back then. But basically, you know, we are much more, and we need to remember that. And now's the time. It's time for us to remember. And I don't know if you guys noticed it, but, man, there was a huge jolt of energy that hit yesterday. I don't know why. You know, I don't watch the news and all that stuff. It's too depressing. So a lot of times, you know, I hear about something a little bit afterwards or something important, somebody will call me. But so I don't know if there was another eclipse or what happened. But I can tell you that it kept me up all night. And my body was tired and I went to lay down and I could not sleep. Normally when that happens to me, because I mean, I love my sleep, you know. So, I mean, if I can't sleep, there's something going on. And it was like that, you know, and there's been some real interesting energy on the planet. And somebody just told me today that we're not getting any relief until after 2012. So hang on, folks. It's going to be a hell of a ride. And we're getting them in faster and more powerful shots. So we really have to adapt. But I'm going to explain a little bit more about why all this is happening. Okay, so the next chapter, 1:14. I left that region behind me and ascended to the great aeons of the archons, and I came before their veils and their gates shining immensely, and the light which I embodied was immeasurable. And it occurred when I came to the 12 aeons that their veils and their gates were set into turmoil one against the other. Their veils separated and their gates opened of their own accord. And I entered into the aeon shining immensely, and the light that I embodied was immeasurable, being 49 times more radiant than the light with which I shone in the bonuses or in the houses of the High Marmony. Jesus' presence and power, once initiated, begins to confuse and confound those who created misconceptions of evolution. The Archons believe themselves to be completely in control of the lower spheres and the coordinates established by fate. But Jesus exposes their limitations to the greater continuum of life beyond the immediate ordering of forms, which are secondary encasements of life. Every dimension of space is used by some level of intelligence, and in the exterior realms, as we travel in this multidimensional space and time, we will witness other regions of visible and interdimensional, or invisible, intelligence, some of which are here to help maintain a balance in this local universe, while others are not. But if we choose to travel farther, to go outside our local realm of duality, our energy body must carefully clear certain vibratory gates. Our physical body must be transformed, lest the vibratory frequencies tear the molecular energy fields of our spiritual physical body apart like nuclear particles ripped from a shell. We have to go through what the ancients called the 49 intermediate stages of cleansing to purify our spiritual vehicle, for in the long run, our life presence will not be protected solely by a physical vehicle, but by the Merkaba, the spiritual vehicle of the divine light and the true hierarchy, which recognizes only those who are carriers of the true vibrations of light. The teaching of Jesus to the inner discipleship of Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, which can be found in Mark 9, was to prepare them for direct work with the brothers of light, who will appear like Moses and Elijah out of the clouds, with the ability to hear directly and respond directly to the voice of God. These higher brotherhoods, sisterhoods of light, are able to work with consciousness education and regeneration, so that the soul vibration can be raised sufficiently for its departure from this planetary system, either at the point of death, only at its naturally appointed time, or through a direct experience, where the body is maintained until the soul returns. This protects the soul from being lost in parallel dimensions of other universes and the lower realms of fate, and allows it to traverse their rulership to go into the mysteries of the higher universe of divine form. The Pista Sophia continues to give us a glimpse of these vast hierarchical realms. And all the angels of the aeons and their archangels and their archons and their gods and their lords and their authorities and their tyrants and their powers and their light sparks and their luminaries and their unpaired ones and their invisible ones and their forefathers and their triple powers saw me shining immensely. And the light that I embodied was immeasurable. And they were thrown into turmoil one against the other. And terror was upon them when they beheld the great light that I embodied. And their fear and confusion reached as far as the region of the great invisible forefather and the three great triple powers. Jesus speaks of the hierarchy that is in control of this system of things, and of the forefather, through his triple power energies, which control the power of the gods of the lower spheres, created the fallen experiments. Let me read that again. Jesus speaks of the hierarchy that is in control of this system of things, and of the forefather, who through his triple power energies, which control the power of the gods of the lower spheres, created the fallen experiments. The model of the forefather connects with the triple powers, the archons, and the councils, which are all celestial copies of the divine structure of the true forefather, the true triple powers, and the true councils of light, existing in the highest light worlds. This modeling originates in the divine house of many mansions, and the many imitations cause confusion for a humanity that has been limited to a simplistic cosmology. This forefather works with his own three great triple powers, rooted in the principle of the Trinity power. In these realms as well, trinities are multiplied in a threefold enfoldment, operating through geometries of triple or trinitized forms of light. But regardless of all this mathematical perfection, it should be evident that these aeons are under the control of a hierarchy of fallen light. For although they have the same unfoldment pattern, they do not have the light consciousness to perfect and renew creation. Again, there is a divine mind, which is the mind of all true gods and lords of light, manifested together in the original forefather, who functions as the Ancient of Days, Hebrew Aramaic, Atik Yomin. That's Atikyomin. The recent of days and the future of days. This is the father who rules above the invisible forefather, seated on the local throne with only temporary power over the lower aeonic worlds. The text is telling us that this forefather is not the Atik Yomin, the Ancient of Days, but a proto-potter, who likewise had a part in the formation of our pre-material universe under the design of the God of God of Gods. He utilized a portion of the mind, nous, the word, logos, and the wisdom, sophia, to energize regions that are now within the fall of consciousness, regions that ought to be redeemed along with the vibrations of man, anthropos. According to the Christian Gnostics, the spirit of truth, Christ, must come forth to replace the spirit of error, and sophia must be restored to reorganize the fallen sophia in relationship to the ecclesia, church, the fellowship of the kingdom. And because of their great fear and confusion, the great forefather, along with the three triple powers, ran to and fro in his region, but they could not make all their regions secure because of their great terror. And they set all their aeons into turmoil, and all their spheres and all their orders were greatly frightened and upset by the great light surrounding me, which was not of the same nature as when I was with humanity upon the earth, when the vesture of light enfolded me. For the world could not endure the light in its true reality, without the world and all upon it being destroyed. For the light which I embodied in the 12 aeons was 8,700 myriad times greater than that which I embodied in the world. Now it occurred, when all those in the 12 aeons beheld the great light that I embodied, that they were all thrown into turmoil one against the other, running to and fro in the aeons. And all the aeons and all the heavens and their whole ordering were thrown into turmoil one against the other because of their terror, since they did not know the mystery that had occurred. And Adamas, the great tyrant, and all the tyrants and all the aeons began to battle against the light, but to no avail, for they did not know whom they were fighting, nor seeing anything but the overwhelming light. Let me pause and take another drink here. Okay. Unlike those in the lower aeons who worshipped and sang praises when they saw the light, the actual powers in control know that the light has come to take away their rulership over the aeons, and so they struggle against it. These are the true instigators of the thoughts of power and control that rule this planet, those who refuse to relinquish the power of the lesser lights for the greater good. These are the forces of the Adamas, forces of lower light power that were part of the multidimensional Luciferian rebellion, those that went against the form of the Atom Kadmon, the heavenly form of the Adamic image, usurping its elemental form so as to evolve it into lordship levels of their own image space of lesser creation. And it occurred when they battled against the light that they each became exhausted and were hurled down together in the eons and became as the earth dwellers, dead and without the breath of life in them. From them all I took a third of their power, so they would cease in their evil actions, and so that when the peoples of the earth called upon them in their mysteries, those sorceries which the transgressing angels have brought down, they would not be able to complete their evil acts. Jesus is reversing that which took place at the beginning of this Alpha program. When a third of the angels, lords, and fallen sons of light, the fallen B'nai Or, were cast down and took over the governing of the lower spheres. Here we have an insight into the fall of one-third of the angels that is ciphered for final retribution in the revelation of John the Divine. That's Revelation 8:12. Some of these were so powerful that they took with them some of the power of the Father and recreated oppositionary or anti-triple powers within them, thereby sealing the fate of the lower worlds. These are real powers that transcend symbology and have names such as Sannyasi or Azazel, who as commanders of the fallen Nephilim and Ophanim angelic emissaries confused the I Am identity of the Adamic creation, so that our original biocoupling with the divine knowledge of our Christed birthright was lost. Thus cut off from the higher worlds, we lost the understanding of our identity and our existence prior to this physical embodiment. These fallen rulers and emissaries also blocked the power available for ascension into our true overself and Christed overself bodies of light. They concealed the knowledge of the mystery of the Trinity, the threefold nature of man, woman, and child, the reason why the higher teachers always appear in groups of three. For as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Now Christ returns and reestablishes the breath, ruach, of light, so that they will lose their false godlike control over the realm of the soul. And I have altered the hymarmony and the space in their command, causing them to spend 6 months facing to the left as they fulfill their influences, and 6 months facing to the right fulfilling their influences. In other words, he creates a balance between polar opposites, between good and evil, plus and minus, east and west, so as to control the mechanisms behind the misuse of fate. Ultimately, the Christ work shows that the powers that allow for ascension and descension can be released from the cycles of hymarmony, fate. In the lower spheres, Jesus was able to take control of the singularities of space and time events, placing them within fixed and restrained cosmological boundaries. Until that time, the rulers had not instituted any programs that would release souls under their control, and worked instead to inhibit the soul's evolutionary process, so that the cell would not be guided into ascension. For it was by command of the first commandment and by command of the first mystery that you, the custodian of the light, had established them facing to the left at all times as they accomplished their influences and their acts. Why was it necessary to change something that had previously been in place by the first commandment? Because it was at the beginning of the creation program that the first commandment had set them facing to the left. The left, working with the Shekinah, Holy Spirit, is the power bringing the divine into form. New form is brought forth through the descension of the light. The program, however, was intended to evolve the mixture of life to the right for the ascension back into the light. And when this movement to the right did not occur, the process had to be corrected. The left had to be corrected by the institution of the right. Jesus' work is ultimately with the myriads of fallen kingdoms, setting them free to use the powers of both creation, descension, left, and ascension, right. We are told in this text of Jesus' final struggle to reverse the powers of the fallen gods so that they can no longer manipulate creation. Since they originally came from the height, they possess many of the sacred vibrations that were corrupted, that is, Yaldabaoth for Sabaoth, and had the great powers of many of the names also at their command. Only by calling upon the tetragrammaton poetically cloaked by the name Hashem can some of the tyrants of the spheres ultimately be transformed. First, however, for many, this would mean incarnating into their own creations. To use the figure of speech, they would have to incarnate into and problem solve within their own kettles of chaos. Wow, huh? I read this and I went, Holy crap. That explains a whole lot of stuff. First of all, if you've done any shamanic training, you know that if something approaches you from the left, it's considered not good. And you consider it, if you're a good shaman, you will not pay any attention to anything that comes from the left. You will only pay attention to things that come from the right. Now, I've heard the Native Americans speak of that. I've heard of the people that are, you know, in talking with the Councils of Nine speak of that. I've heard all kinds of people speak of that. And I've experienced both myself because, you know, there's always an element that's trying to fool us. This is why I keep telling you guys, if you see an apparition and you think you're talking with Jesus or the angels or whatever, always ask them to show you their heart. And they should approach you from the right also. And this is why. And I had no idea that this was there. I've had this book sitting here for ages, and I finally got around to starting to read it. And it makes so perfect sense with all of this, with these things that I've been taught and things that I've observed throughout my life. So you want them to approach from the right. You want to ask them to show you their heart. Because if they are from the left, if they want to keep control over the material worlds, they are not going to show you their heart. But they can lie to you. And one of my good friends, Yananda, who has passed away, used to say, oh, yeah, you know, they can lie to you, especially now. And you say, oh, are you from the light? And they say, oh, yes, I work for the light. Yes, I love Jesus. And then you say, okay, show me your heart, and they disappear. So always ask, because there are plenty of negative spirits out there that would like to keep us all down here, and it's not time for that. It's time for the ascension. And the ascension is a spiritual thing, not religious. It's all about your frequency level and being able to pass into the next higher dimensions. Get another sip here. Okay, now we're at 116. And it happened when I came into their region that they rebelled and battled against the light, and I seized a third of their power so that they would not be able to complete their evil acts. And I altered the Hymarmony and the sphere over which they rule, and established them facing the left for 6 months as they accomplished their influences. And I have established them for the other 6 months turned to the right to accomplish their influences. And when he had told his disciples these things, he then said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it happened when Mary Magdalene heard these words from the Savior that she focused her eyes into the sky for a period of an hour. Mary Magdalene, once a fallen woman, now enters the dialogue. We have just mentioned that the left exemplifies the power of creation, and this is attributed in our reality to the power of the woman, who exemplifies the female aspect of creation. The female, or the power of Eve, has been regarded as the lesser power by the male-dominated priesthood. But now Jesus will reveal that he has come to reinstate the creative power with the light. And Mary, upon the earth, exemplifies the purification of the light. This is the Mary who, we are told in the Gospels, had 7 demons cast out of her. Mark 16:9. She exemplifies the Sophia that is being cleansed and raised up to the motherhood of a new creation on all 7 levels of consciousness reality. So, you know, this whole earth movement that we're having, and, you know, people wanting to bring the divine goddess out more. This is why this is going on. And, you know, we've said for a long time that men need to get in touch with their feminine side. And this is why, because we have to have all this together. And so he's laying this all out, you know, explaining mysteries that, you know, have been written in the Bible and are still in the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Coptic Gospels and things like that. Hold on a sec. Jesus' work with the divine Shekinah is to restore and elevate the lesser Sophia and the 3 Mary figures connected with his ministry in this world of flesh, which exemplifies this emergence. This is why Christ manifested through the Virgin Mary to bring the divine spirit into a closer relationship with the earthly mother in the process of reassimilation. This is also why there were 2 Marys and Joanna, a trinity of women as a triple power at the tomb of Jesus, Luke 24:10. Or the 2 Marys and Salome in Mark 16:1. Jesus required female disciples within his mathetai, his discipleship, for the purpose of restoring and elevating the feminine creative energy of light. Just as Seth was given birth for the purpose of bringing forth the higher male energy, Genesis 4, the higher female is restored symbolically through Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. Both are marrying the woman of the earth and the woman of the heavens. The two Marys plus the third Mary, or the other Mary, who is also present in Scripture, Matthew 27:56, are merged into the ministry of Christ Jesus, bringing forth a higher trinity and also a quadrinity with the Christ, creating a greater balance between the polarity of opposites. Okay. Oops. Let me pause a moment and take a look at the fast chat, which I seem to have lost here. So let me pull that back up. And, yes, the name of the book. I shall do that, Eric. Hang on just a second here. This is Pistis Sophia by J.J. Hertog, who did the Keys of Enoch. So there you go. Whoops, it wouldn't let me take that. Let me try it again. Okay, Pistis Sophia. There we go. Okay. Very, very interesting book. I can't wait to get through the rest of it. It's amazing. Let's see. I'm skipping through a little bit here where they talk about Egypt, which represents the life and death cycles of earthly bodies. And, okay, whether we see this as an internal or external struggle, we are being prepared for this glory and work with the Lords of Light to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to judge the fallen angels. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 2, and 3. To talk to the angels of light, to teach the children to be prepared for the coming of the Father's glory. Although no one knows the exact hour, we are being called to prepare. What greater privilege could we have? This then is the beginning of the cosmic ascension and restoration. This is the beginning of the Ari Shemot, the language of the Exodus, to create the ladder of Jacob, whereby we can climb up the dimensions of energy and share the Sophia Christou in the Father's house of many mansions with the blessings of Dodi Li, the beloved bride, given for the unity of liberated souls sharing in work and exaltation. Yeah, there's more. But wait, there's more. All right. Then Mary asked Jesus a question. She asked first for permission to ask the question. He said, "Speak openly and be not afraid. I will reveal to you all things that you ask." Remember in the Bible it says, "Ask and it shall be given." And I've mentioned that before. If we want to know something, we have to ask. And the better the question that you ask, the better the answer you're going to get. But they usually won't just give it to you on a platter. You know, you have to work through it. You have to find things for yourself. That's so that you really learn it and you own it. Okay, so now we are at 1:20. And Mary Magdalene is speaking. She said, "My Lord, will all the people who know the mystery of the magic of all the archons of all the eons and the magic of the archons of the High Marmony and of those of the sphere in the way in which the transgressing angels have instructed them, if they invoke them in their mysteries, using their evil sorceries to hinder good deeds, will they succeed from this time on or not?" Jesus answered Mary, saying, "They will not succeed as they did in the beginning, for I have taken a third of their power. But they will borrow from those who know the mysteries of the wizardry of the 13th aeon. And if they invoke the mysteries of the wizardry of those who are in the 13th aeon, they will perform them competently and for certain, because I have not taken power from that region according to the command of the first mystery." And when Jesus finished speaking these words, Mary continued, saying, "My Lord, from now on, will the horoscope casters and consultants not tell humankind what will transpire for them?" Jesus gave answer to Mary, saying, "If the horoscope casters find the High Marmony and the sphere turned towards the left, according to how they were first expanded, then their words will be true, and they will say what will come to pass. But if they encounter the High Marmony of the sphere turned to the right, they will say nothing true, because I have turned their influences and their squares and their triangles and their octagons, whereas their influence had always been turned to the left since the beginning, as well as their squares and their triangles and their octagons. However, I have now caused them to spend 6 months turned to the left and 6 months turned to the right. The one who shall discover their calculation from the time when I change them, positioning them to spend 6 months turned towards their left and 6 months turned towards their right paths, someone who examines them in this manner will clearly know their influences and will correctly anticipate the things that they will do. In the same way, the consultants, if they invoke the names of the archons and encounter them facing towards the left, they will be able to answer accurately to humankind all the things that they will ask their deacons. But if the consultants invoke their names while they are facing to the right, they will not hear them, because they operate as a different entity compared to their previous position in which you had ordained them. For their names are different when they are turned to the left from when they are turned to the right. And if they call upon them when they are turned to the right, they will not speak the truth, but they will baffle them with confusions and intimidate them with threats. Wow. That kind of explains why people who are doing predictions are not always right, and sometimes they're just right on. Okay, let me skip through a little bit here. He's talking about purification. It comes only through the recognition of change, which ultimately leads to the incorporating of the divine virgin matrix demonstrated by Jesus and the elevation of Mary Magdalene and of Sophia. The reprogramming of the lower heavens is thus the realignment of the left, the creative principle of light, which has fallen, and which is restored by implanting new thought forms of balance from the region of the right. The alignment with the right creates a juxtaposition with the higher realms and permits the energies of the office of the Christ to create new alignments that profoundly affect the time codes for predictions, as well as the quote-unquote squares, triangles, and octagons, rendering inaccurate the calculations of the lower realms. The consultants who knew only the lower hierarchies will never know the names of those influences who have turned to the right and acquired a new name. Ignorant, they will remain in confusion. So those who do not know their paths when they are turned to the right, and their triangles and their squares and all their figures, will uncover nothing of the truth, but will be baffled with great confusions, and will be misled into great deceptions, and will err in great illusions. For I have now turned the works which they previously accomplished in their squares and in their triangles and in their octagons, while always facing to the left, and have caused them to spend 6 months making all their configurations turn to the right, so that they may be entirely disoriented. And I have also caused them to spend 6 months turned to the left for the working of their influences and all their configurations, so that the archons who are in the eons and in their spheres and in their heavens and in all their regions may be disoriented in confusion and misled in deception, so that they may not comprehend their own paths. Jesus is working to restore and rebalance the multiple experimental kingdoms from the highest level of reprogramming in the right. From this order, the administrative hierarchies direct the new heavenly governments through the image of divine sonship. But Jesus does nothing to unsettle the 13th aeon, whose final nemesis must await the end of the cycle, for he does not want to disturb the remaining positive influences in that aeon. Specifically, the 13th aeon is the matrix control behind the 12 aeons, wherein the final reprogramming will completely realign the thought forms in terms of their spatial interiors and exteriors, merging the new spiritual image within its divine counterpart that is both of the right hand, office of sonship, and the left hand, office of the Holy Spirit, thus completely restoring the eons of creation. So that's good news, huh? Okay. Let me skip down a little bit here. So then Philip is sitting and writing the words of Jesus as he speaks them, and he asks for permission to speak. Philip realizes that there are so many spheres and grids and hierarchies that he cannot be certain what effect these actions of the Christ will have on the earth. Philip knows that the archons operate through many different dimensions and pathways. And Jesus answered, saying to Philip and to all his disciples, I have altered their paths for the salvation of all souls. Amen, amen, I say to you, had I not altered their paths, a myriad of souls would have been destroyed and would have languished a long time if the archons of the eons and the archons of the Hymarmony and of the sphere and all their regions and all their heavens and all their eons had not been curtailed. And the souls would have endured a long time outside and the fulfillment of the number of perfect souls would have been delayed. These are the souls which shall be numbered in the inheritance of the height through the mysteries, and which will be in the treasury of light. Jesus curtails the operations of the pathways of limited purification established by the archons. The time period of 6 months to the left and six to the right, 6/9, is a symbolic reference for the release of the six lower levels of binding, 6/6/6, that had been placed around all the planetary spheres like Earth. Here we do not look per se at the number, but the direction of the spiral. Altering the downward spiral loop, as exemplified in the formation of the number 6, a negative stasis of life, and exchanging it with the upward spiral or reversal of life, the 6 reversed as 9, which can assert new direction without completely transcending the elements involved. The Pista Sophia tells us that it is clearly the lower hierarchies working against the upliftment of the human race that prevents the evolution of our consciousness. It is because of the fallen rulers who control the majority of thought forms on this planet that a devolution of consciousness took place within the human race. Working within and without, this does not exclude the inner symbolic forces working within the psychological structures of our brain, but also exemplifies the external powerful forces capable of inducing a retrogressive state of evolution in intelligences under the control of invisible external realms. Many people find it impossible to comprehend that they themselves may be influenced by an intense state of control and therefore seek easy solutions to their mental state. In refusing to acknowledge the existence of negativity in our realm, they become caught in illusions, believing the misconception that their thought forms are free from lower psychophysical trauma phenomena. If one does not want to accept that anthropomorphic forces have brought forth negativity, then at least one should accept that our region of space-time is not that of pure light energy and therefore contains particles of malillumination that are in need of purification, which can be accomplished by us when we learn to superimpose the thought forms of light into the world of mixed matter energy. According to the Gnostics, the plan for the Sodomic experiment had to be specially designed in order to allow for the levels of elemental bondage we experience to be brought into closer alignment with the regions of the right. Furthermore, were it not for this divine intervention, the seed experiment in this and all local regions would be allowed to self-exterminate. Thus, one of Christ's greatest objectives in the lower spheres was to open the dimensional doorways that had been blocked. Along with his abilities to confuse the lower hierarchies, his powers of intercession prevented the surrounding hierarchies from invoking even greater nemesis upon the earth. Jesus also speaks of the number of perfect souls, a triggering mechanism for ascension into the higher worlds. The Gnostics believe that once enough of humanity chose the higher pathway and passed through the clearing or the experimentation of this plane of existence, planetary consciousness could be perfected and raised on high. And it appears that humanity is not alone in its ascension process. Our human race is but one branch of a higher corpus design of many cosmic races. We on this planet have descended from a higher divine image structure, and we are part of a numerical program that over so many cycles was intended to attain a higher consciousness for ascension. Throughout the world, we can find the higher codes to our biomathematical structure. For example, within the pyramids of South and Mesoamerica, the pyramids of Giza in Egypt, and the pyramid structures of China and Japan. Many of these are unique time clocks calculating periods of advancement for the human creation according to a numerical perfection. It appears that we are currently in a subprogram within a greater program. But if the change brought about by Christ in the higher worlds did not occur, we could be subject to influences that would lead us to the point of choosing to program ourselves out of existence. On this account, I have altered their paths, that they, the archons, might be confused and disturbed, and so relinquish the power which is in the matter of their world, and which they form into souls, so that those might be saved, and their whole power might be quickly purified and ascend on high, and those who will not be saved might be quickly dissolved. Christ and his Lords of Light have become the activation of a higher program of preparation, which in its fulfillment will override the controlling systems of the archons and open the spiritual gateways at specific points, irradiating these zones with light and commencing the initiation from God level 0 to God level 1 and beyond. When this is fully activated, we can truly understand our embryo godhood. Not only will we be fully released from the bondage of this planet, but also from the rulers of the local universe, the lower councils who choose not to be transformed. They, too, will be removed or transferred, for we are all within an experimental zone of evolution. So how do you like those apples, people? I've been reading from the Pistis Sophia, a wonderful book by J.J. Hertog, and I am going to see if I can get him on the show at some point to discuss this further. This has really kind of brought together a lot of things for me. And if you have studied, you know, the different religions and things like that and wondered how come everybody thinks they have the one religion but nobody does, this might make a heck of a lot more sense to you. So I hope that you've enjoyed this. And I know it's given you a few things to think about. And I can tell you that from my own near-death experiences and all of my meditations and things, you know, traveling into the heavens and just having these amazing experiences, that this rings true to me. And it rings true because I was shown how the creation works. And it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And like I've said a lot of times, you know, when you say, oh, it's all in divine order, everything's okay, it's like, yeah, it's okay over there. It's not okay here. We have a job to do here. And once you start to awaken, your job is to wake up as many others as you can so that those souls are saved. And I'm not talking about saved in a churchianity type of way. So if you're into church, you know, forgive me and get over it, because it's way beyond that. And I don't like limiting God. Call it whatever you want. Great mystery, God, the first mystery, the prime creator, divine creator, the all that is, whatever. It goes so far beyond any name that you can give it. And the creations that it does are just mind-boggling. I mean, you know, most of us, we can't even manage to create our day well enough, you know, messing it up somehow, or to create a relation well enough. And sometimes you can't even create a meal well enough. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that he points out that, you know, we're at God level zero. You know, we're looking to go up to God level one. I've said for a long time, we're in kindergarten. And as soon as you wake up a little bit, you can climb out of the sandbox, you know, and play some other games. And the photos that I've been able to get of the matrix showing through, that I puzzled over for about a year. Nobody could tell me what they were. And finally it hit me that the matrix is actually showing, you know, the illusion is dissolving. You know, it's kind of all making a lot of sense. And it makes sense, too, that it doesn't happen when other people take pictures of the light. They may look the same, but when they blow them up, they don't have the matrix. And I finally realized that's because I've been on the other side so many times, and I know that this is all a game. I know it's an experiment, you know, and it's not real. Feels real. When you're in it, it feels really damn real. And, you know, we have to play the game because we're in it. But just know that there's hope. And this is why I wanted to read these chapters to you from the Pistis Sophia. I think it's an incredible book and quite a work. And when you consider that so much of what J.J. Hertog writes about in there is hidden wisdom and somehow got preserved, you know, a lot of things got wiped out by the rulers. They didn't want people to know who they really were. They didn't want us to know what our birthright is. And our birthright is Godhood. And, you know, what better way than to take away all evidence of that? And then eventually people forget. But now we're waking up. We're waking up with a vengeance. So it's time to wake everybody else up, too. And, again, if you can find a copy of this, I heard it went out of print again. Let me see who the publisher is. I highly recommend it so that you get it. I had a revelation just as I was reading this stuff to you guys. And it's kind of bringing some things together for me. This is, let's see, where's the publisher? Sinclair Printing Company. That's Sinclair And you can also just Google J.J. Hurtak. It's H-U-R-T-A-K. And I presume buy it directly from him. And, you know, as I go through this, I'll clue you guys into things that I'm finding in there that are just really amazing. So I hope you've enjoyed all this. And I'm kind of giving myself a break from having to read other people's books right now, except for the ones I really want to read. So that's why you get just me. And if I can get my act together and get some time to write some other people, I'll see about getting some other guests on the show. But for right now, I need a little break, so I'm taking it. And still hopefully helping you guys with your enlightenment process and mine. So it's been great. I love you guys. You're amazing. And thank you for tuning in. And if you haven't tried Hydromay Skin Nutrition yet, please do. It's really worth a try. You know, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. And it's definitely affordable. Also, I wanted to mention, if any of you has gone to my myreallifecoach.com website and purchased any of the MindSync products, they're on the product page, you know, the binaural and isochronic tones, would you please drop me a line? And if you can, you know, send me your order information and transaction ID and stuff like that, because I have found that something happened there and credits were not being given, and I'm trying to figure out what exactly is going on. So I would appreciate it if you would please let me know. Seems like the Music Me Free part is fine. It's the MindSync stuff that was having a connection problem. So please do let me know, and take care of yourselves in the meantime. And if you were really tired today because you couldn't sleep all last night, hey, I'm right there with you. It's the energy. Get used to it. It's going to be coming harder and heavier. You know, so take your naps when you can. And just, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. It's hard to have a schedule, you know, when this kind of stuff happens. But just realize it's going to happen. It's probably going to get worse. And it's all necessary. It's kind of rewiring all of us and helping us to hold higher frequency. Okay, so enough of all that. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Come my children, come and awake. Hi, this is Charles Maxwell Green, and I'm the host of ET Yoga. That's every other Thursday, Channel 2, at BBS Radio, from 7:55 to 8:50 p.m. ET Yoga communicates self-empowering knowledge from channeled extraterrestrial sources combined with the teachings of ancient yoga masters. You can also learn to totally be self-empowered, cure disease, or create total immunity from disease at MaxwellGreenSight.com. See you on Thursday evening.
Hey, what's up, peoples? This is The Worderer, and you can peep my flow at TheWorderer.com. But right now, I'm just tuned in listening to the biggest of the big dogs of internet radio. I'm talking BBS Radio, because you're done, though. If it ain't mainstream, then it's gotta be on BBSRadio.com. Roof.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.